This is Simon for On the White, and we are sitting here at the Royal, overlooking the bay, and we're with...
I'm Phil Jupitus, hello.
Hi, Joe. Phil.
I could be Jill. I'd gladly be Jill.
Yeah, that's Saturdays.
Not that Jill. Here, overlooking the bay, because I've asked it for alfresco interviews, because I've been in a car for 5 hours.
Yikes, where's that?
So I'm getting a little bit... driving down from Essex to get the ferry to come and do the... It's the Isle of Art. Isle of Art. Do you see what they did there? The Isle of Art. I love Arts Festival. Very bless them. Yeah.
And, I mean, 5 hours from Essex seems like a long time, but it's Friday traffic, is it?
I suppose so, yeah. A little bit of the M25. A little bit of me trying that new tunnel on the A3.
Yeah.
A little bit of me...
Tunnel fan?
I like that tunnel. I heartily recommend anybody coming down for the ferries to eschew the M3 in favour of the double barrel tunnels on the M3 in favour of the A3. Do it. I presume you're going through a south down.
It's a big hill, isn't it, really? I don't want to be too technical, but...
I know, but I do love a tunnel. Don't know, it's, I like engineering.
I was just going to say, was it engineering?
We're living as I do near the Dartford Crossing.
Okay.
That's a bridge and a half. But I do a massive bridge and a huge tunnel now as well. It was great. Underground, overground. I wombled my way here to the festival.
That bridge to go over is absolutely so high, isn't it? It seems extraordinary.
It's just fantastic and it's terrible, really, because I just always want to look out to the... I just find the head drifting round to the... My wife hates when I drive over that bridge, because she goes, road, like that, because my head always goes, oh, boat, yeah. Road. So not ideal for me.
So is this isn't the first time you've come back to the Isle of Wight since you were born?
No, I did Bestival 3 and 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I can't remember if I've done Bestival 2 or 3 times. I think 3, because I have to think about, the surprise. I remember Madness being the surprise act once.
The specials.
The specials was the same year as Poor Amy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Twice. I've done Bestival twice.
Right, okay.
And it's just fantastic. I think Rob just does such a great job and his missus putting that festival together. And I've really felt from that, because that first year it rained. Because Bestival seemed to be the weather bulletproof gig. They had 4 great years.
Yeah.
And they were loving it, and then they just literally, it was like they'd just been tempting fate, and presumably someone said in the press release, it never rains at Festival, and tempted fate just a little too much, so.
This gig tonight, I mean, was it something, it's offered to you, and you just thought, that sounds interesting, or what was it?
Yeah, literally, unless I can think of a reason not to do something, I'll generally say yes to most things. They got in touch, and I thought, hadn't been for a while. And it's like, and I just go through the tick-off list. It's like, how long do they want me to do? And they go, 90 minutes. I went, I got that. Can I do new stuff? They go, do what you want. And I go, I got all that.
Mm.
And so I just kind of just tick things off in my head and go, got this, got that. Can do this, can do that. So,
So do you do your own management? Because I know a lot of people have that sort of buffer between.
I've got a marvellous agent who looks after Lee Evans, Michael McIntyre and Jonathan Ross and people of that stamp,
Is this Daisy's brother?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Addison, lovely boy. Very busy with all his proper turns. And whereas us in the lower reaches of his roster, we're like the Ravens at the Tower of London, He keeps us on. And while the Alan Carrs and the Michael McIntyres earn the real money, we're perfectly happily bumbling away down on our panel games. So.
But that's a pretty good life, though, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, guys, it's fantastic, to be in a position where a festival can... It's such an honour to kind of have someone phone up and go, can you come do a festival? And it's like, I'm always still blown away by being invited to do these things. A couple of years ago, I went to the Daphne du Maurier Festival down at Foy in Cornwall. Out of nowhere, just to go and do... we do a topical comedy thing with Marcus Brigstock called Early Edition. I went down to do that with him, and it was just so lovely to be down there with all these proper authors and things doing events and everything. And I did the...
So with that, it's not only we like you, we think other people like you, but it's clever people are going to like
well,
you.
Well, I don't know. It's a different crowd. It's a really... I love doing festivals because you do get a different audience, you know, and people coming to see you do things. And I'm always a little worried with people knowing me from telly that... Because I relax a lot on stage.
Right.
And there can be a bit of effing and jeffing. And so...
That's interesting. I mean, apart from the possible swearing, are you different on TV, do you think?
Oh, well, no, but you're in an edited medium. And so what happens on television is edited for content and also to fit the flow of the programme. And so you can have a dreadful recording that... when it goes out on television is fabulous. And conversely speaking, you can have a great recording, and when it comes out on television it's absolutely awful.
Yeah.
So that's just...
And do you ever get in a touch over the editing side?
No, God, never. I've never made my own TV programme, so I wouldn't want to get involved in that. Steve, that used to be our editor on Buzzcocks, our line editor on Buzzcocks, does an amazing... the mess that we used to give him on a Tuesday night. And sometimes he used to turn it around in two nights.
Wow.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, and those recordings sometimes go on for 2 3/4 hours, and they've just got to pull 25 minutes of screen time out of it.
Wow, that's crazy.
And just make a flow of the evening.
Yeah.
Editors, television editors, I marvel at their skill, I really do.
Mm. And so this idea, lots of people start their own production companies. Yeah. You never been tempted by that side?
I think if I did, it would be more on the radio side than on television.
Because it's easier to handle, or you just got to love a radio?
That's because I love radio more.
Right, yeah.
That's what I like about the internet. Is I do a podcast with Phil Wilding, who is an author, journalist, who used to be my producer at Six Music. And we do a podcast called Phil and Phil's Perfect 10. Very simple format, which is we have to answer 10 questions in exactly half an hour.
Wow.
We can take as long as we want, though.
But right,
we have to answer all 10 questions.
Right.
And there's a lot of bad language on that. But the weird thing is part of the reason we did it was we wanted to know what that would feel like to have that complete freedom. Because on air, I was just really, really good at not swearing on air when I was on the BBC, although I did 3 times throughout my career, drop the F-bomb on air.
Just like rap or a big rap for that?
You know what? One time I did it. I did it 3 times and there was never a complaint.
Right. I guess with your audience, you know, there's a sort of expectation, isn't it?
This is the thing. Whereas Johnny Vaughan, once on Capital Radio, they went to him and his co-host early one morning, and she was in the middle of some rant about something. And they literally went to her, and it was a what the F this, what the F that. First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And so they did it.
Everyone choked on the soldiers.
Went to a record, and then Johnny Vaughan, I'm not joking, spent the next half hour.
Wow.
Those of you that were listening at the top of the show might have heard something a little unexpected or air there. We're really sorry about that. And I'm like... It makes it worse that you've drawn attention
right.
to it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think... But...
otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because other than that... And the thing is, it's like... If you just go... I didn't mean to do that. You know I didn't. I'm sorry. Mm. That is as much as it should be.
Right.
And it was a bit like... The one on the Today programme, Culture Secretary Jeremy Hunt.
That was such a classic, wasn't it?
But again, the constant apology...
was quite strong.
Yeah, but the constant apology for it.
Yeah.
And then Andrew Marr did it again in his show.
Yeah.
And then the thing, and then you talk about it, and then it's out there, and everyone is dropping the C-bomb at each other all day. And it just becomes this huge thing. Yeah. Whereas if you just go, oh, sorry, there and then. But the funny thing about that was that he said it, and then went and tried to retrospectively cough, and then pretended he said with a perfectly clear voice, "Culture Secretary Jeremy so and so,"
yeah,
perfectly clearly, and then went Yeah. I mean, it's on YouTube. Everyone should go and listen to it now. It is one of the great moments in radio, but still not as good as, nothing left be as good as, do stop it, Aggers. You know,
that?
Which is Brian Johnson on the cricket.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
Where Jonathan Agnew is talking about, and he just says, didn't get his leg over.
Yeah.
And that was all he said, didn't quite get his leg over. And then Brian Johnson starts giggling. And then they're obviously looking at him, and he's going, and they're doing this
right,
to him.
Yeah. Is that the technique to get that. People to giggle? Then
you
is
really
it?
Look at them.
Yeah.
There's something about being on air when you know you're in just an audio situation.
Your brain is differently tuned for that.
Yeah. Okay. But that was the thing. It's me and myself and Phil Wilding. I did it twice at Six Music, once at GLR, twice at Six Music, I swore on air.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 5 years, and so that was something in the region of 1,500 radio shows.
Yeah.
And I swore twice.
Right, that's pretty good.
So that's 1,500 times 3 hours.
Mm.
That's a lot of time on air.
I mean, maybe if you're a vicar, then that's different.
Bearing in mind that the weird thing is I remember Carl Hyde from Underworld coming on the show. And then we'd be chatting to him off air, and it'd be, and as soon as we were on air, and he went, I'd just be terrified that as soon as you put the fader up,
right.
And he went, there's just something about when that light was on, it's like
right.
You just,
yeah.
A different part, you just know you can't do it, and
yeah.
So you don't do it. Mm. I remember, as a very, very well-known newsreader, I remember meeting him, and I won't say his name because he'd be embarrassed. And I remember talking to him about George Bush Jr. And it was just after he got in. And I said, so, and I'm not going to say his name. I said, well, what's the deal with this Bush guy? And in his completely, completely inimitable accent, he went, well, the man's an effing idiot. And it was so weird to hear a voice that you hear.
So respectful.
So, yeah. To suddenly go, right. Wow.
That is like the that. News.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. But that's how Chris Donald came up with the idea for Roger Melly, was that they were at Tyne Tees and they saw this Tyne Tees newsreader. And he was in the canteen and he was,
So I wonder if that part of that is them making up for the fact that they're restricted during the airtime, or...
Well, no, I mean, I don't know so much as... I think there's a slight element of I'm one of the lads.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
That there's some people that I've sometimes been interviewed by who are quite sort of straight-laced, but when they're off air, they get very sweary with me, and I'm like, you kind of don't need to do that to prove anything to
right.
me. I think you're all right, you know. I'm often... You know, whereas, and I mean, I swear because I love the
feeling of it.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I know it's a terrible thing. But I mean, I've got a very good vocabulary in other directions, but there's something quite liberating.
Mm.
I swear terribly.
Well, it's a big underline as well.
It was really once my kids went to senior school, I said, right, you are now at big school. So I am going to start swearing at home. I've never sworn before. I've been very careful around you.
Yeah.
But you know all the words, don't you? Yes, right. Daddy, we know the words. Okay.
We right. know loads you don't know as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and it's and I always went off like a fire alarm. And but the funny thing being that when my eldest swears, she swears. I saw her recently. I went to visit her at university, and she swore in front of me. I went, it just doesn't sound right on you.
Right.
She's
is that because you've got a sort of purity?
Oh,
right.
And it just, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Coming out of a posh mouth, somehow.
So that one thing you mentioned there was about other people in the same show business.
Yeah.
Business. How do you get on with that? One of the things it feels like you are you when you're on stage. I know everyone has a slightly different persona.
Yeah.
But when you're on telly or you are feel
yeah,
true
well,
to yourself.
That's that odd thing. Sean Locke had a very... good way of describing what we as stand-ups do, which is you are mining aspects of your own personality for use professionally.
Yeah.
Which is, when you think about it, I mean, a double-edged sword, really, because you are. Since I became a comedian, I'm just a lot quieter. But people can be quite.
Right.
unsettled by how quiet I am in public.
Right.
When they come up and they're, you know, they go, "Hey, Phil,
be funny."
And then, nope.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I do that for a living.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to, you know, tell us a joke. Yeah. No, that's the last thing I'm going to do. Is say a word. Yeah. Yeah. I do that.
Tickets are available.
I do that for money.
Yeah.
But and also I can't tell jokes. If you come to the gig, there's no jokes.
What is it? Have you got one of the? I'm the same. I can never, ever, ever remember a joke.
My brother-in-law is he's a mastic. He's a building contractor. He's a mastic contractor, and it's really weird. But if I had to kind of the funny people to spend time with who are hilariously funny, my brother-in-law, Richard,
right,
just
yeah,
unbelievable.
So when you're both in the same room, he's the funniest guy there.
He's got this point between 2 and 4 pints where he's the funniest man in the room. Beyond 4, he starts to get sloppy. We might as well walk off.
Yeah.
So I always try and hit that window.
Yeah, right.
That's the hour to be with him.
Yeah.
Between pint 3 and pint 4. And then walk away.
Yeah.
Then you're done.
So that idea, going back to the one about... I'm just interested in this idea of people being slightly different on telly. And there was this...
Well, no, I think the thing is, I think that something like QI... You're like yourself through an amp.
Right, okay.
That's all it is.
Because you know you've got to deliver.
You're just a bit... No, I don't think you even think about it, but you're not yourself because yourself is quite a normal and doesn't always look for laughs and isn't that needy.
Mm.
But when you're in a gig situation, you've got to get laughs. And so that bit of your mind is switched on.
Right.
That I'm on now, bit of your mind is on. And that's that's an unnatural state to be in, to be on.
Yeah.
And sort of... So
that's when coming off stage is important to have that cool down, or do you not do that?
Off stage. No, after a gig, I like to be unbelievably quiet. And if possible, I like to just watch films.
Right.
If I come off at a gig, the best thing to do would be to just put on, a Miyazaki film or Blazing Saddles or something. And just let it just drift into you. You know, I've got a Tin Tin box set in the hotel over the road. Tintin's going to get a hammering tonight after the gig, and that's it.
You know, there's Nosferatu on tonight.
Where?
Up at the church, and this live accompaniment with it.
Shut up, what time?
Just after your gig. It's going to be amazing.
Wonderful.
Well, anyway, look, you've been very generous. I know you've got to get on and do your thing.
Yeah, no, I understand you're transitioning between titles at the moment. What are we?
Exactly. We were Ventnerblog, and we're on the cusp of being on the white.
Cool. Cool. So, on the white. Nice. I like that. Although I did get my detail sheet from my agent today, and they did spell Isle of Wight. W-H-I-T-E.
Right.
It's kind of... Yeah.
If you've never been there, why would you know?
Exactly. You know, whereas me, I actually have Vectis tattooed on the back of my neck. I don't, but what a great lie.
Yeah. Well, let's cut me in, you've got it inside. Well, look, thanks a lot for your time, Phil.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Talk.